Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an update on SOPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act, that Wikipedia is protesting by going dark tonight at midnight for 24 hours. James Losey, a policy analyst with the New America Foundation's Open Technology Initiative, joins us to discuss the dire implications to internet freedom if this bill passes. He has an article at Slate.com, The Internet's Intolerable Acts. Then Michael Hudson joins us. He is the president of the Institute for the Study of Long-Term Economic Trends, a Wall Street financial analyst, professor of economics, and an economic advisor to governments worldwide, including Iceland, Latvia, and China. We will discuss the downgrading of a number of European countries and the ongoing euro crisis, as well as Michael Hudson's article in a major German newspaper, Europe's Transition from Social Democracy to Oligarchy. Then finally, with President Obama hosting Jordan's King Abdullah today at the White House, we'll examine why Jordan has not gone the way of other countries as the Arab Spring sweeps the region. The editor of the Middle East Report, Pete Moore, who is a professor of political science at Case Western University, joins us to explain how the kingdom that has the same socioeconomic grievances as Egypt, Tunisia, Libya, and Syria is holding together. And I'm speaking now with James Losey, who is a policy analyst with the New America Foundation's Open Technology Initiative. He writes about user freedoms and the digital divide that has been published in Advances in Computing, Arts Technica, Common Law Conspectus, IEEE Internet Computing, IEEE Spectrum, and Slate. His latest article at Slate is The Internet's Intolerable Acts. Welcome to Background Briefing, James Losey.
Hi, great to be here.
And I'm absolutely puzzled here as to how SOPA got as far as it got in terms of what it's requiring internet providers to do. Just quoting, just reading it briefly from your article in Slate.com, James Losey. The SOPA would create a system of private regulations to shut down websites that are accused of not doing enough to prevent copyright infringement. And these shutdowns would happen before a site owner could defend himself in court, and SOPA could punish sites without even establishing whether they are guilty of the charges brought against them. Is that, on the surface, that's pretty extraordinary. I mean, how is this? No wonder Wikipedia is going dark in protest.
Well, absolutely. I think what happened here is both the Protect IP Act in the Senate, which is being voted on next week, and SOPA in the House, is I think there was a lot of people in Congress that started backing this bill without actually truly realizing what the bill was going to do. I think there was a hearing last month where it came out that a lot of representatives didn't understand the technical issues talked about in the bill. And I think there's a lot of people still grappling with what are the freedom of speech concerns and how is this going to affect human rights online.
So you were on the Hill today, I believe, in Senator Dick Durbin's office. What is where do you think the numbers are in terms of the vote? Because I think it started out under this kind of rubric of you know, we've got to prevent things like child pornography, and that sort of laid the groundwork. And now, with tremendous lobbying from Hollywood and former senator representing Hollywood, the impression is that SOPA's got some wind in its back.
So next week there's going to be a cloture vote on the Protect IP Act, which means there need to be 60 votes in order for the bill to move forward, no longer have an opportunity to filibuster, and move immediately towards amendments and trying to pass the bill. And I think tomorrow there's going to be a tremendous amount of action online. There's going to be Wikipedia is going to be blacking out. I read online that Google is going to be posting information on their front page, which would be unprecedented. And a number of other sites, including Reddit and online communities, are going to have ways for people just online to easily contact their representatives, easily contact their senators, let them know that they're concerned about this legislation. So I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of pushback against the bill tomorrow.
And what was your sense being on the Hill today? Is Chris Dodd winning over his colleagues?
Well, I think a very unfortunate thing here is there seems to be a mentality that this train needs to be moving forward. that there's an opportunity to move forward and fix things at a later date if need be. That's incredibly troubling. One big issue that people have had concerns of is been this DNS filtering component, both in Protect IP, both in SOPA, which is taking a tool out of China's internet censorship toolbox and using the United States to control some types of information online. That finally is being discussed as something that can be taken out. But if it takes that much pressure just to take out an internet censoring component out of a bill without having proper input from engineers, without having debates about it, I think it's very concerning if they're still trying to fix one minor detail and move ahead with a bill that can have troubling implications for free speech online in the U.S.
Again, I'm speaking with James Losey, who's a policy analyst with the New America Foundation's Open Technology Initiative. He has an article at Slate.com, The Internet's Intolerable Acts. And in January of 2010, Hillary Clinton launched the State Department's Internet Freedom Initiative. And now, of course, this SOPA is taking us in the opposite direction and making a mockery of the U.S.'s stand in that regard. Because even though, as you mentioned, they've taken out the Chinese technology that's used to censor the Internet, the Iranians also use this technology, and the Syrian regime is using this technology. Isn't it nevertheless the case that what the government, what this new act will require internet service providers to do is in fact censor, pre-censor anything that goes across their transom?
I mean, I think it's incredibly problematic. I mean, I think the bills and there was several dozen human rights organizations that wrote a letter to Congress saying that the bill sent an unequivocal message to other nations that it's acceptable to censor speech on the global internet. And even without the DNS filtering provisions, there's still other problems with the bills, including the ability for private entities to demand contents taken down without sufficient due process, without sufficient opportunity for other sides to defend themselves and be able to present that they are, in fact, within the law, they are providing useful services, and they are, most importantly, protected speech.
Well, here we're on KPFK in Los Angeles, a Pacifica Public Radio station that was instrumental years ago of invoking the seven words that couldn't be said under the FCC. And since then, the FCC has brought in, under pressure from the Christian right, has made quite draconian fines of any of the seven dirty words are ever spoken on the air. So what we're required to do here is if you have call in and people call in and get a little too boisterous in their language, you have a dump button that you can censor it out. But how's that going to translate to the internet? I just don't understand how it can be done.
Well, now the FCC doesn't have the same authority over the content that's spread on the internet. In order to regulate that. What happens here is there's different proposals of how which entity, including the Attorney General, to be able to take cases to a court and say this is infringing content. But the biggest concern is when you have a private right of action, which means if a copyright holder is able to go to perhaps, say, someone who is a financial revenue of a website, such as an ad service or a payment service, and be able to threaten to sue the payment service over the content of a website that they're providing a service to. When you have that type of regime, when you're leaning on an intermediary like that be responsible for what happens on a website, that's when you start having companies playing cautious and proactively censoring content on the internet, and that is a very troubling prospect.
But no, I wasn't suggesting that the FCC is going to be the policeman in this case. Isn't this act requiring really difficult and draconian self-policing?
Well, that's exactly the case, which is when you have, because the threat would be a financial service would want to make sure that they're not in a position to get sued over what content's on a website they're providing. For example, if there's a blog and there's advertisement on the blog, whatever entities on the overseeing the ad service is going to need to monitor what the blog content is. There's also pressure on the blog operator. Whoever the blog host is potentially depends on how the bills are written in order to monitor what's being posted on the blog, which undermines the free speech potential of the internet.
So this is a struggle between free speech on the internet and anti-piracy, largely coming out of here in Hollywood. Now, do the Hollywood people understand, and they obviously have a point, that their work is being pirated all around the world, and clearly it's affecting revenues here. They're having a terrible year in terms of the box office here in Hollywood, and piracy is rampant. But my understanding...
Well, actually, I want to push back on that. I mean, I would like to see those numbers, because I think the numbers I've seen, the box office in Hollywood has actually done quite well. The numbers that have come out from the Government Accountability Office have shown that jobs in the media creativity industries have actually been doing fairly well. And a lot of the numbers that have been cited in this debate are, in fact, not always citable. And if they are found out, they're not always as factual as you might hope them to be. In fact, Chris Dodd has claimed that piracy has wiped out the film industries of Spain, Egypt, and Sweden. It doesn't take very much to look into a film like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, a Swedish film that's grossed $100 million worldwide, and see that Sweden has a great film industry. Secondly, the U.S. version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is being filmed in Sweden. It was filmed in Sweden. So I think some of these numbers are dubious at best.
Well, what I was going to suggest, though, James Losey, is that you know, a lot of this started out with Napster and music piracy. But it seems to me that the problem with Hollywood and the recording and music industry is that, look what Apple did. They came up with iTunes, which is a very successful and workable solution. So it seems to me that that you know, you can't fight technology. You've got to work with technology.
And unfortunately, I think what we've seen is that incumbent industries often try to fight new technologies. We can go back all the way to the days of the piano roll. You can see the times when the MPAA tried to kill the VCR, claiming it was going to destroy Hollywood. In fact, the MPAA chairman went publicly in saying that the VCR is to Hollywood what the Boston Strangler is to a woman at home. It is an outrageously out there statement to make, and they even tried to fight MP3 players, which obviously are the music listening or portability or the portable music device of choice these days. And I think they've given opportunities for Apple to come in and dominate the music sale market. They've given opportunities for Netflix to come in and dominate the online to help dominate the online streaming market. I think they're losing new opportunities by trying to fight new technologies.
Yeah, but the irony is when they tried to stop the VCR, it turned out later that Blockbuster and all these other outlets that rented movie videos after the movie was released in the theater made the studios more money than the release of the movies themselves.
You know, you're absolutely right. Most of the money that the movie industry makes is from downstream content, which means it's not the box office. It's rentals. It's today it's streaming online. It's sales. And I think that if we fight new technology rather than innovating in this country, we're going to continue losing important opportunities to have great ways to see content online and great ways to have legal ways to buy media.
Well, just in closing, James Losey, what was your sense on the Hill today in the Senate? Is this thing going to turn around in spite of their colleague Chris Dodd's persuasions?
You know, I think a lot's going to happen tomorrow. I'm really excited to see how much overwhelming support the internet users across the internet are willing to show tomorrow, from Wikipedia to Reddit to even an entity as large as Google, willing to change their pages or even block them out to raise awareness of this bill. And I think if enough calls come in tomorrow, there's going to be a lot of pressure to senators not to vote on this bill.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, James Losey.
Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with James Losey. He's a policy analyst with the New America Foundation's Open Technology Initiative. He writes about user freedoms and the digital divide and has been published in Advances in Computing, Ars Technica, Common Law Conspectus, IEEE Internet Computing, IEEE Spectrum, and Slate, where his latest article at slate.com is The Internet's Intolerable Acts. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about how, according to our next guest, Europe is going from social democracy to oligarchy.